Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's March the 5th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That'll happen just after the bottom of the hour. Hey, a great big thanks go to all 330 of you who braved yesterday's weather to spend time with us at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana for the all-day Ag Outlook meeting. I'm pretty darn certain it was worth your while. You stayed all day despite some dire forecast. Dave and I, WILL meteorologist Ed Kieser, and the rest of the staff on hand, including station manager Jay Pierce, Les Schulte, Charlie Smith, Joan Harshbarger, and Mike Pritchard, who ran the audio board, along with Henry Ratcliffe on the video camera, can simply not express our gratitude. It makes what we do worthwhile. It's the reason we're here every business day of the year, bringing you programs like this one, the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580 Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat at $10.96, up 18.5 cents. The May at $11.05, 17.5 higher. And July wheat futures for the soft red at $10.47. The harvest month finished 40 cents higher on the day. Minneapolis Grain Exchange, nearby contract. And the March, which is at $16 even, I believe, was the settlement price as well, was down 90 for the afternoon. From the corn pit in Chicago on this day, the nearby March contract, a $5.57 settlement price, up 14. May futures at $5.67, up 12.5. July at $5.79, 12.25 higher. And December futures up 10 at $5.77.25. March beans down 3.5 at $14.90.5. The May at $15.08.5, down 2.25. And July at $15.19.5, down 0.5 cent. November soybeans at $13.91.5, down 7.25 for the day. The March bean meal at $3.75.80, down 5.50. March bean oil at $66.55, down 65. April live cattle at $90.60, down 60 cents. March feeders at $100.90, down 75 cents, and the lean hogs at $56.77.5, down 7.5. From the outside markets on the afternoon, futures in the crude oil climbing today at this hour, $5.08 higher, a barrel at $104.60. In the April, the May futures at $103.12, at $4.15 higher. The CRB index at 419.31, that's up 10.47. The dollar at 73.49 is down just about 20 at the afternoon. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,225, and it's just about 11 points higher. The nearby March gold at $986.20, up $22.30. April futures up $22.20 at $988.50 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the two-state region tonight. Our own Mike Sola says in the north it'll be cloudy, some snow showers, lake effect snow. In central sections, mostly cloudy, some scattered snow showers and flurries. In the south, partly to mostly cloudy, lows will range this evening from 12 in northwestern Illinois to 32 in the southern parts of Indiana. Thursday night, Mike says in the north and central parts of Indiana, it'll be mostly cloudy, some scattered snow showers. In the south, partly to mostly cloudy. In northern and central Illinois, it'll be partly to mostly sunny. Highs will range from 22 in northwestern Illinois to near 50 in the southeastern parts of Indiana. Cooler than average temperatures should continue, he says, to dominate over the next week to 10 days. The depth of the cold will start to ease, especially in the southern areas. As we enter the middle of the month, weather systems will continue to graze the area on somewhat regular intervals as storms of the Pacific origin roll from the northern plains right towards the Great Lakes, and the systems develop in the southwestern states and move toward the Ohio River Valley. Despite the frequent storms, precip amounts will be closer to average than in recent weeks. The heaviest precip totals are expected to be in the far south, while western Illinois should miss most of that precipitation. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us on this Wednesday afternoon to take a look at what happened in the commodity markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd, and great meeting at the Beef House yesterday.
Oh, boy, that was a lot of fun. You know, I just enjoyed the devil out of that and was really, I hate to say it, but a little proud that we were able to put 330 folks in the seats yesterday on a day when the weather didn't cooperate very well.
Well, we had a lot to talk about, and you know, it was a lot of good information, and that's what it's all about. A lot of ideas exchanged both from the panelists and from the audience, and gee whiz, it was great.
We'll post some of that audio to our website as time passes. Probably take a little bit of time to get that up there. Maybe by the end of the week, you'll see it on our website at willag.org. Be sure to visit there. Let's talk about the marketplace. Interesting kind of day in Chicago after kind of a hard day yesterday. Markets started to return, especially in the wheat and the corn. Why did the soybeans not follow?
Well, near as we can tell, you know, based on about a 60 million ton crop and I think a 47 million ton crop down in Argentina, we'll have about 7 million more tons of beans in South America. With that, with the yields coming in better from Brazil, maybe 2 to 3 million tons better, we could possibly have a 10 million ton bigger crop. And as a result of that, the beans are substantially higher priced, and any time you get beans over $8 or $9, they're usually for sale in the world. So, you know, in theory, we have 10 million metric tons more, 10 million metric more tons of beans for sale in South America than we did a year ago. We understand, you know, the focus on Brazil now probably is the soybeans, and they didn't make their announcement that was rumored yesterday of actually selling veggie oil into their own marketplace. We did get the feeling yesterday there would be a surprise audit on soybean processing plants to see if there was hoarding going on. But I think just the idea that we are getting awfully close to that 20% harvest in South America possibly was enough to send the soybean market and the continued rumors in the marketplace of more soybeans planted here in the U.S. all add up to some price erosion.
The farmers here in the Midwest will be concerned when they see a bit of weakness in the soybeans, simply because at this point it's over the price of their crop insurance and they might be willing to lock in some of this as a sale. What do you think?
Oh, you know, definitely from the survey taken and some of the people there, they were surprised at the hands of the people taking crop insurance. The big factor here in the soybean area is that, you know, Dan basically painted the picture that if we have a scale of the most bearish commodity, we'd go to the wheat, and the second one would be the soybeans. And at some point in time, we do expect more acres in South America. The big problem here is that we are in a very solid bull market. Demand for worldwide commodities is tremendous, and the bear has been punished severely. And, you know, our theory is that the bottom line is that we need 6 to 8 million more acres planted in the U.S. in order to basically stabilize this commodity market. And without that, travel on a very icy pavement at 60 and 70 miles an hour if you consider being bearish the commodities.
Yeah, so what you're, without it if you're going to be bearish to commodities. This is a little bit of a new tone, I guess, that you're taking, I think, because to this point you've said we need the acres, whether we get them out of CRP or other places, and we need that to stabilize the marketplace. But I guess just a slight variation on what you've been saying. And now you're telling me that the bear, if you want to be bearish, that it's going to be really hard to do that if we don't put the acres in place. Is that what you're saying?
That's because right. The real bottom line here is that, Dan said that there was talk at the Commodity Classic down in Nashville.
Dan Bossy, yes.
It basically mentioned that there is talk about pasture and, of course, the haying concept. The real scary part here is that if we don't have normal weather and prices get out of hand, and we don't know whether what the definition of prices out of hand are, whether it's $15 or $20 a bushel, whether or not it will create quite a bit of problems in the livestock industry, the ethanol industry, and actually the one concept that goes back to the 60s and 70s that I heard of quite a bit is we're actually exporting acreage out of the U.S., wealth, management, opportunity, and you name it. And we are, we always hear that word on the top of the line that we're subsidizing certain industries, and definitely we are subsidizing set-aside payments on land that's not in production. So, this goes against a lot of traditions, and so we are exporting a lot of opportunity, but not putting those acreage into production here in the U.S.
And so your fear at this point is if the bull market continues, that we will at some point ration out acres from the United States, not just
well, I think we're going to get prices so high that it's going to be uncomfortable for the marketplace to function in a proper manner. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, the bottom line is that
At some point in time, we are going to encourage production in South America. We know there's a lot of acreage in the former Soviet Union. We know there's a lot of acreage in Brazil, Argentina, and Australia is going to kick in. But at the same time, we really, if it's a year or two away, we'd like to have that economic advantage right here in the United States instead of exporting opportunity right here in the U.S.
And finally, what signs does the farmer look for that somebody's going to pull the trigger?
Well, I think a couple things. The livestock man is losing $150 to $200 an acre. Larry Wood eloquently mentioned about the tremendous margin calls that the grain industry is meeting. And at the same time, we possibly aren't, we're putting a handicap, on the ethanol industry to some extent with these high-priced corn. I think the worst thing that we fear is that we don't want to have publicity this summer where we would say food inflation, because we're very sensitive to that as farmers, landowners, and stockholders in major ag companies.
We appreciate all the time you take with us.
Have a profitable day.
Hey, you too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from the Archer Daniels Midland Company. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Don't forget to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. In a moment, Dave Dickey, your Director of Ag Programming at WILL, will be here to take a complete look at the agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
In agricultural news, Mexico and Canada are preparing to announce a deal in which Canada would be permitted to ship live cattle to Mexico. The expectation is that the animals most likely would be dairy cows and breeder cattle, not animals for immediate slaughter. U.S. government officials say they are not pleased, saying the deal is not compliant with World Organization for Animal Health standards. More than 100 U.S. House members and 24 senators have sent a letter to U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice urging reconsideration of an economic embargo against Cuba. In part, the letter said, quote, "After 50 years, it is time for us to think and act anew." Delegates to the National Farmers Union Annual Convention yesterday voted that Congress should hold oversight hearings into the government's crop insurance yield endorsement of certain biotech corn seeds. USDA agreed to a rate reduction on crop insurance for producers planting 75% of their corn crop with certain Monsanto seeds. The pilot program is being offered in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota. Top Farm Bill lawmakers remain at an impasse over issues including committee jurisdiction and a ban on packer ownership of livestock. The Senate Finance Committee last October created a $5 billion permanent agricultural disaster aid program that was inserted into the Farm Bill. If the program remains in the final version of the Farm Bill, the Senate Finance Committee says the program should remain under its control. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson disagrees, saying ag disaster aid should be controlled by the agricultural committees. The Senate Banking Committee yesterday heard testimony that raised a warning flag about soaring agricultural land values. Iowa Superintendent of Banking Thomas Grossdahl says current agricultural conditions appear similar to those in the 1970s that led to an economic and financial collapse in the 1980s. Grossdahl says if crop prices decrease, the price of farm land would most likely also fall. Meanwhile, Midwest farmland values continue to rise to record levels. The 7th Federal Reserve District surveyed 265 rural bankers in an area that includes portions of Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, Michigan, and Indiana. Results of the survey indicate the quarterly rise in the value of good agricultural land was up 6% in the fourth quarter of 2007, and it was 16% higher for the year. And that's today's look at agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find a multitude of great programming, including this report, along with the pre-opening and opening mark reports. You can sign up for those, along with Commodity Week, to be downloaded to your computer as a podcast, or you can simply listen to them right there off the website at willag.org. Over on the right-hand side, don't forget to hit subscribe to our weekend newsletter. That subscribe button will put you on our list, and this weekend we'll send you a really good marketing newsletter. My thanks go to Dave Dickey, who writes the bulk or almost all of that newsletter. It's all part of the service you get on this radio station. It's WILLAG.org. Now up next, a 30% chance exists this year that harvest prices will exceed crop revenue coverage limits. I'll have more on what it means for farmers considering that product this season. U of I Extension Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke watches the federal crop insurance programs. He calculates, now that the federal numbers are in, that there is a 30% chance that harvest prices will exceed crop revenue coverage limits. Schnitke says this probability is much higher than has existed in previous years, and that the higher chances of exceeding CRC limits increase the value of revenue insurance, crop insurance, relative to CRC. Schnitke is the author of a recent report, Impacts of CRC Price Limits on the Value of CRC Relative to RA. Now, if you understand those acronyms, then you should look up the report on the U of I's FarmDoc website at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. The agricultural economist says CRC and revenue assurance are similar products insuring farm revenues, although they differ in three ways. First, CRC and RA will have different premiums. CRC averages October settlement prices of the December corn futures contract traded on the Board of Trade to determine its harvest price. RA averages the November settlement prices to determine its harvest price. And finally, CRC limits how much the harvest price can differ from the base price, while RA does not have limits. In past years, Snitke noted, price limits associated with CRC have not been a major concern. In 2008, however, price limits are a concern as price volatility has increased greatly, increasing the likelihood that settlement prices will fall outside the CRC price limits, and Snitke maintains that could cause RA to have higher payments than CRC. Snitke's full report includes projected scenarios illustrating how this situation could impact farmers in 2008. Visit the FarmDoc website for complete details. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time to take a look at the cash grain market. Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us today. Hi, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
You made it home safely from our all-day ag outlook at the beef house yesterday.
We certainly did. We made it home just fine. I was really surprised at the turnout with the weather the way it was. It was a marvelous meeting, good turnout, and it's just something that everybody should go to every March.
It comes around either the first or second Tuesday of March. You can put it on your calendar right now at the beef house in Covington, Indiana for next year. And if you didn't happen to make it out yesterday, and I know the weather was pretty tough, you can get some of that program on our website at willag.org. It'll probably be posted a little later in the week. Just keep checking back, and I'll let you know here on the air. So will Dave Dickey in the morning on this radio station when the opportunity happens. Tell me about cash grain in your area.
Well, of course, we're just kind of following the board. Basis levels are really kind of weakening up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, everybody out there has heard that, you know, some of these bigger companies are refusing to flat price. New crop corn and beans are doing basis only. You're just seeing some things in this grain market that you've never seen in your life and may never see again. But basis levels are just a tad sloppy. New crop basis levels keep getting worse. We are still flat pricing here, but yeah, it's really good news and yet scary at the same time, Todd.
I guess I've seen that from, well, we knew about it from the Andersons, and then I think two additional companies or three have been added, two at least, I think, Cargill and ADM, is that right?
That's the same thing I heard, too. So right now, ConAgra is still doing it. I'm not saying that we won't somewhere down the road, but right now we seem to be okay, but yeah, this is just a weird kind of a market, and like I say, there's good news and there's bad news, just depending on how you want to look at it.
The good news is the price is really high. The bad news is you can't sell it.
this is true. There's got to be drawbacks to everything, I guess. But, yeah, basis levels are getting a little sloppy. Farmer selling has really backed off for two reasons. They're bullish, or they started too early, and they've got too much booked, and they don't want to do anymore. So it's really been very quiet on the farmer front.
And anything else to add before I get the bids for the day?
I don't believe so. And our cash corn today is 531. Cash beans are 1441. And new crop wheat is 847. And good program yesterday, Todd.
Thank you very much, and we're glad you were able to make it up.
Thank you.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website. The address again is willag.org. Not only can you find later in this week some of the really good, outstanding panel programs that were put on yesterday over at the Outlook meeting, but our daily programming as well. It's at willag.org. We'll put Dan Bossi's presentation there. Gary Schnitke's presentation will be up, and so will the corn and the soybean panels. I'll be back in 2 minutes with the ag weather.
It's National Cheese Doodle Day. The cheese-flavored snack debuted sometime in the 1950s. They were invented at the old London Melba Toast factory in the Bronx when workers discovered a machine that extruded cornmeal in a long air-filled string. They chopped the string into bite-sized pieces and coated it with cheese. By the way, the product has always been baked, not fried. On this day in agricultural history in 1558, Francisco Hernandez supposedly introduced tobacco to Europe. At first, it was grown only as an ornamental plant. It was not until the 1580s that tobacco smoking caught on in Europe with the return of some Virginia colonists. They created a stir by smoking tobacco from pipes. In 1836, on this day, Charles Goodnight was born. He is said to have devised the first chuck wagon from an army wagon in the 1850s or 1860s, with various shelves and compartments for food, equipment, utensils, and medical supplies. In 1893, Emmett J. Culligan was born. He was the founder of the water treatment company that carries his name. And in 1991, on this day, the nation's 5,000,000th patent was issued to Lonnie O. Ingram of the University of Florida. The patent was for a genetically engineered form of the E. coli bacterium that converts plant material into ethanol. It took Ingram and his team 2 years of work and $150,000 to convert almost any biomass into fuel. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hi, Drew.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Tell me about the weather over the next couple of days here in the Midwest, please.
Well, it looks like we're going to be in between storms for a little while here. We'll probably have to count it by the hour. Since there's yet another storm system coming up here after all of our widespread precipitation yesterday. But we won't see much in the way of meaningful moisture for a little while. We'll have to wait until sometime late on Thursday and going on into Friday. And at that time, we've got another storm system that will be forming in the southern plains, moving through the delta, and ultimately will turn into a nor'easter for the northeastern part of the country. And the end result here is that there'll be a band of moderate to heavy snowfall, once again occurring from the northwest side of the delta through the lower Ohio River Valley and into the state of Ohio and parts of Pennsylvania. We'll probably see anywhere from 2 to 7 inches of snow accumulate across that band. And once again, there'll be some breezy conditions coming with this, and travel will become treacherous, and we'll probably see some more of that stress out there for some of the livestock across the region. So definitely another round of yuck coming up for a big part of the Midwest. Now, after that system passes, we'll be under the influence of a cool, high-pressure system, which will actually bring a lot of substance and quietness to the Midwest for a number of days, taking us through the majority of the weekend. And our next storm system would probably show up sometime during the middle part of next week.
This is a bit different for farmers over previous years, at least recent years, because it's been here in the central part of the state, mid-March, the early birds and some of the really big producers are out and putting corn into the ground. That's not going to happen this year, it appears, simply because there's awfully wet. Are you concerned at all at this point about a wet season? And I don't think we can really think about that for another month, but when you look out, what do you see?
Well, I am a little bit concerned about it, mainly because the pattern that's supporting this this frequent precipitation is actually going to stay in place but shift a little bit to the north. That probably didn't come out quite right, but anyway, we'll still see the same succession of storm systems occurring during the planting season, but we're going to have the jet stream just a little bit further to the north so that the areas that are going to have the problem, I believe, are going to be in the northern part of the Midwest, parts of Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and possibly the eastern Dakota. So I think the Ohio River Basin will start off rather wet. We'll be concerned about it, but I think out of the entire Midwest, that's the region that will probably get a break from all the excessive moisture quickest, and we'll see a little bit of a warming trend. But the rest of the region, I do believe there will be some delay in getting out there and being able to work some of these fields, both because of wetness and the cool bias that will be in the soil.
And give me 15 seconds or thereabouts on South America. How's their harvest season progressing?
Well, it still looks like everything is in place in a favorable manner for most of Argentina. We've seen some timely precipitation and favorable soil moisture in many areas. And that's going to continue for the next couple of weeks. Of course, Brazil's had too much moisture in recent weeks, and they do need to dry out a little bit. They have dried down the past 2 days, but there's more rain coming up here for this weekend and on into next week, so some more delays are likely.
Drew, thanks much.
Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.